but it's whenever He wills. You don't have to have spiritual maturity to flow in the gifts of the Spirit.
Give the title again.
Are you graced?
I missed the first part there.
Are you graced? Do I need to start over?
Just the very few first two lines.
Okay, after the weeks we've been looking into this subject, I believe we can conclude that God is His will is for us to walk in the supernatural. All right. Anyone can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Babies in the Lord, etc. It does not denote maturity. When Danny first got born again, it's just like the spirit of prophecy dropped on him and he could prophesy and everything. He didn't have any maturity, not in the Lord. But it was just something that the Holy Spirit chose to use him in that area. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is about maturity. It's about learning to walk in the ways of the Lord, not giving in to the flesh, but listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. All right. It does not denote maturity, but learning to control your life with the fruit of the Spirit will cause you to walk in God's will, and automatically the gifts of the Spirit will manifest in your life as the Spirit wills. And you've probably found this when you're out doing something and you're unctioned to pray for somebody. Many times, I never had anything like that happen in all the years I was in churches, but I'd go pray for somebody somewhere, and then I'd hear later they got healed or all these things happen. Was it me? No, it was not me. But I believe their usage more so than in the church. They're for out when you're taking the gospel. That's where the power needs to show up. Not that you don't want it in the church. It happens. I mean, there are believers' meetings where the gifts of the Spirit do flow. But we needed that power outside of the four walls of the church. And I think that's been what's been so wrong about it is we have stayed within our four walls and tried to get the sheep in instead of going out, taking the power out. Okay? It's caused us to, it's like in the book of Acts, about chapter 5, where, you know, you see chapter 4, how people, nobody had any needs. Everyone, if they had extra, they sold it and they gave to whoever had need. And it was great power and great grace was upon them all. And then you see chapter 5. Here the widows are griping and the poor are griping because they're not getting fed right. And all these contentions, when you start boxing something in, all the complaining starts and you're not taking care of me and all these things, what happens? No power. Fightings, contentions. What was before? Love. Not thinking about yourself, thinking about others. All right. God has given us a responsibility to find His will so we can know what He made us to do. Really, it's only like four steps. There's really five I put here. First, getting God's word and renew your mind. Receive His instruction on what that is that He's asking of you. In other words, hear the command, but wait for the plan. Wait for His plan to do it and wait for His timing in it. Do it now, or I want you to do it in 2 years, or I want you to, you know, whatever you need to do. Then whatever He says to you, do it. And grace will be applied to that when you do. Usually it will be steps. If we do the first step, then there will probably be another step. If you never obey the first step, more than likely you won't hear anything else. I remember that when our former pastors were here first. I remember they were talking to some people, and they said, you know, for all these years, God hadn't told us to do anything, and they just asked them, what was the last thing God told you to do? And when they thought of it, they said, did you do it? No. Enough said. God doesn't really give us a whole lot to do, does he? You know, it's because he knows sometimes he can't even get us to do just the little thing that he told us to do. And why should he tell you to do something else if you hadn't done what he told you to do? I think this is probably the major of the problems, because I was just talking to somebody this week about, well, God doesn't ever speak nothing to me. I pray in the Spirit, I never get nothing. And I just had it come to me the next day, well, it's because I've told them to do something and they haven't done that. I mean, it's like the children of Israel. They tempted God 10 times. He tried to get them to trust him. What finally happened? He just let them go their own way. Till they died. A lot of people, they just run out of time. This isn't to be a bummer this morning. It's just the fact that God, when he tells us to do something, he doesn't forget what he tells us to do. We've all done it. So nobody's, I'm not saying I've never done it, because I have. I have. The Lord has spoken to me things, and one time it was 10 years before I obeyed him in it. A lot of it was I had a lot of confusion in my mind and didn't really understand, but, you know, regardless, I... And then whenever he spoke to me, I'd been praying a lot in the Spirit. One day he told me I had quit in an area, and I had come up out of my chair like, what? So he took me back 10 years so I could get in line and start doing what he told me to do. And that's not the only, I've blown it in other areas too. We all have. Not meaning to maybe sometime, but we have. We have. So that's why I ask the Lord on a regular basis, Lord, is there anything I'm not doing that I need to be doing? I mean, when I was supposed to start teaching on Wednesday night, he spoke it to me in March, and I didn't start doing it till September. Because, you know, you want to know that you're really hearing right, and you want to do what the Lord tells you to do. But sometimes I've just had to just do what I first had, just do it. Because you may not get 50 confirmations like you're used to getting or wanting. That's the problem. People want confirmation, 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 confirmation. Or they won't do it. That is the value of learning to listen to the inside man and walking by the Spirit. I mean, we're wanting the power of God in our lives. We're wanting to see what God wants. You know, we want to see these things in our life. But if we are not, if we're still over here in the flesh and going through all of this, it's like two kingdoms can operate side by side. It's not, because like I said, the walk out is a walk with a lot of mixture. But you're increasing in this way and decreasing in the flesh. Increasing in the Spirit, decreasing in the flesh. That's what the trek out is about. But I believe Lord's gracious. He'll deal with one area. He'll get you free in that one area. Then he'll move you on to something else. Kind of like peeling you like an onion, bringing you out of that. Okay. All right. There have been people over the years that the Lord has given me words for them concerning their ministry or something the Lord wants them to do, just like I said to you. It is not between me and them when I give a word to them. It's between them and God. So anything I bring to you, it's not carnal love to you, and you're not responsible to me for it. You're responsible to say, okay, Lord, what she said, what do you say about what she said? Because not everything that everybody says is for you. I can promise you, not everything will be. And it can be a really difficult, if you take everything to heart, you won't know what to do. Usually, rarely, when I listen to somebody, there's usually one thing that I might come away with on everything they said. I'll say, okay, Lord, what did you want me to get out of what they said? Understand? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Some do what they think to fulfill God's plan and just ignore the first steps, and they shipwreck because they let their own thinking get in the way. This is the problem of being raised in church, and they do it certain ways in church, and you think, well, it's kind of like the daddy called thing, you know. Daddy was a preacher, so I must be a preacher. No, not necessarily. See, God has a way that he wants to take you in whatever he has assigned for you to do. And it's for us to get his plan and not listen to man. Paul said, I didn't consult with flesh and blood. And of course, you saw he went against the grain of the religious leaders. They followed him from town to town wanting to kill him because he was bringing them out of that old covenant into the new covenant. And it was very, he went to the Gentiles, God sent him to the Gentiles, well, the Gentiles received it with open arms. But the ones that were indoctrinated, here we go with that old wine in a new wineskin, it just won't work. Or old wine bottle, you put new wine in it, it won't work. The leaven from the old will neutralize the new. It's dangerous. You can't have it. And that's why we're where the Lord's taken us. That's why the old guard's going to have to fall away. Because we'll be in the same situation that Paul was in. I guess you can't help some of that. But for the most part, what they say and what they do has nothing to do with kingdom. It's old, what they done for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Same old thing. It's going to go against the grain, no matter what you do. And it's going to be a mental battle for you because when you're used to listening to all that other, you'll think you're wrong. I know because I was there a long time thinking, what is wrong with me? Like you were saying, I'm a round peg trying to go into a square hole or whatever. And you understand why you never fit. I made that statement to someone one day. I don't think they knew how to take it. I said, now I know why I never fit. I wasn't for the old dispensation. I was for the new. It was like they're going tilt, tilt, tilt. They don't didn't have any. It's like some people when I talk to them, I'm talking up here and they're understanding down here. And that's why you just have to just save your breath. Save your breath. They're not going to get it. Am I right? Yeah. Now you know when the Lord opens the door and someone's ripe to listen. Being led by the Spirit, when to speak and when to keep your mouth shut. I've been getting my mouth in some problems the last few weeks with some of these negative people. I said, Lord, help me not to do that. If it means I just don't be around them, I guess maybe that's what it's going to have to be. But there's those opportunities where people are just as open as they can be and you can inject into them the kingdom ways. And you know, a lot of them are not very religious, if you notice. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at some scriptures here. Genesis chapter 12. These are passages that y'all are well aware of, but it fits right in here. Abram was a Chaldean. I've heard people say there's no such thing as Jews, as the Jewish race. And there's different segments of the Israelites are called different things. From what I understand, the two tribes of Judah are the Hebrews, the ten tribes are the Israelites. There's four or five different categories that are really, they consider the Jewish people. So they're not a, you could say, natural born race. I mean, Abram was a Chaldean. He worshiped the sun, moon god or something like that. All right, 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Okay, now let's go to 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Okay. All right, let's go over to 15. We're going to just kind of pieces of his journey, of where God told him to go. All right, Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thee, or unto thy seed, have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay, and it talks about all the ites in the land. Okay, now let's look at 16. Just a few more scriptures. Now Abram, Sarai's wife, was bare, or bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restraineth me from bearing. I pray thee, go on into my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 20 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She shall call the name of the Lord, and she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, The Lord seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berea. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. So, 4 years passed, and God renewed his covenant. See, he didn't do it the way. He said, I'm going to give you a son by Sarai. What happened? Next thing you know, he's sleeping with the maid. His own plan. All right, when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall make between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall be circumcised, or ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born of thy house, okay, blah, blah, let's go on down. And God said unto Abram, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarai thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So we see here, the father of our faith had his own struggles with obeying God and believing God and what God said was going to be. He kept trying to do it some other way. The Lord just kept, I said, Sarai's going to have a child. Oh, no, I just can't fathom that in my mind. I can't get it through this mind of mine, what you're saying. I still have to keep trying these methods to see if I can get it done. And nothing ever seems to work out. Okay. When we try to figure it out and do what we think is best, we cause delays. No condemnation meant here. We've all done it. This is what this series is about, learning to flow with the Spirit so we have no more delays. Yeah. When we do our own plans, we are stuck with the dirty diapers of that plan. Okay, let's go look at Galatians, which is basically talking the same thing, but it puts it in a New Testament perspective so you can understand. It's talking about the walk between the flesh and the walk of the Spirit. It's like, Lord, when am I ever going to get it? I blew it again. When am I going to ever get it? Just keep on going. You'll get it. You'll get it. All right, Galatians 4, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Flesh is our own works, our own efforts to get things done and accomplished. And it was obvious Abraham didn't understand. God told him what he wanted to do. And then before you know it, here they have this flesh thing. And he has to come back again and say, I told you, I done told you and told you. And then here he goes, but let's let my plan live before you. Lord, let my plan live before you. And he said, no. Sarah's going to have a son. All right, let's keep going here. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants. We've been talking about the two masters, right? You can't serve two masters. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. You got to choose. You know, it's all rooted in care. You know, and all this we've talked about, what's going on in our world today and what the New World Order is trying to do, it's all about they want to take care of you. They want to take care of you. No, they want to scare you. It's all about fear. It's a fear push. They want to control you. They want to control your every move. They want to put biometrics on you. It's kind of like that movie where Tom Hanks rips all the biometrics off of his body, saying, I'm tired of them listening to my heartbeat. I'm tired of them knowing when I go to the restroom. This is what they want to do. They want to control you and every breath, everything. But God wants us to be free. There are two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. See Mount Sinai. You think about that. Nebuchadnezzar's statue. The giant tree. It gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar's Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. You know what? Wouldn't it be great? You may not do many things in your life, but everything you did, you followed God. What a success. No failures. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. In other words, many go after the flesh, few walk in the Spirit. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. That's why it's laughter with Isaac. It's effortless. It's graced. It's awesome. Following the Spirit. All the heartache comes by the flesh getting in the way. All of it. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. It shouldn't surprise us in this day and hour that there's so many that compromise, so few that stand up. They persecute the one that stands up. Him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How do we do that? Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay. All right, back to Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time for which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac means laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. Abraham had a great feast the day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And this is what she said. I ain't have nothing else to do with that flesh. We're walking in the Spirit. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be heir with the son, my son, even with Isaac. The truth be known, in the book of Jasher, Ishmael actually tried to kill Isaac. Yeah. It was more than just mocking. He tried to kill him. So she said, that wench is out of here. No more. We're going God's way. There's laughter. He's made me to laugh. No more bondage. It's the way it's supposed to be. Once we see how smoothly it goes when we follow the Spirit, we will cast out the works of the flesh and all the dirty diapers that go with it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must not let our fleshly thinking get in the way. And this is another note the Lord brought up to me. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean that is where your call is. Here's a good example. Jesse Duplantis. He was a rock star. I mean, he made bukus of money, played the guitar, sang. He don't do none of that. That wasn't God's call. That was the world's call. Made a lot of money doing it, but he doesn't do that in his ministry. It's very sad that many live and die and never know what God has called them to do, but you can rest assured if they renewed their mind, God would have revealed it to them. He will not make you do anything. He will not override your will. Like I said, some find out and they just say no. The Scripture says, some say no, God. We know someone that we believe that, well, I believe the Lord's spoken to me a couple of times concerning this person. And a few months ago heard them say something like, no, I like where I'm at, and da 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 da. It's not that the prophet's wrong, it's that sometimes people say no. It's like a mission impossible. Here it is if you decide to accept it. When you accept it, grace will come alongside to help you to accomplish it. In the Mission Impossible shows, what do? They got all these fancy gadgets and these fancy vehicles and all this stuff to help them do this Mission Impossible. That's what God's grace is. It helps you do Mission Impossible. You can't do it in your flesh. It won't work that way. It's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to work by the grace of God. One way to know if you're in God's will is just about... It's not just about, it's about being grace. In other words, if what you're doing is you can't hardly put your foot in front of each other, and what you're doing, and it's just, you're just dragging, like, I just can't do this anymore, it's probably a good gauge that the grace is either over in that, or you never had it in the first place. God's grace. All right, we're going to look at, let's see, one more scripture, Acts 7. Or sometimes it's timing. Trying to do things. I've done that in my own ministry. I've done things thinking that I needed to do this to further my ministry, and then I found out it was just me. Didn't work. All right, Acts 7. We're nearly done here. Verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I just realized, I mean, he had to be sent to the backside of the desert to unlearn all he learned in Egypt. But on the other side of it, he learned about the Egyptian system because God was going to send him into that system to bring his people out. So he had to know their ways and how they operated and what they did. So he had him come up in Pharaoh's house. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. They were a very arrogant race. They hadn't done nothing to do anything since the horse and the rider fell into the sea either. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. I know about that. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, we, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler or a judge over us? That's what we're dealing with today with these people, not wanting to hear, don't want to listen, make you some kind of crackpot for trying to wake them up, trying to show the truth. Wilt thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses fled at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, angel of the Lord in a flame, a fire and a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he grew near to behold it. And the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then the Lord said to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. 40 years prior, he was trying to do what he had in his heart. And he had to flee for his life. Now after 40 years, out there in the quiet with those sheep, God says, Now, we're going to do it my way. This is what I want you to do. And he lays out the plan for him. Gives him the grace to go and do it. And he does it. All right, about done here. Grace versus no grace. If he has told you to do something, you haven't heard anything else, just keep doing what he's told you to do last until he tells you to do something else. That's pretty simple.